and welcome to the Voice Market Podcast, a series of conversations with the amazing talent here at the Voice Market. Come explore the world of voiceover and uncover the passion and dedication that drives the artists we collaborate with daily. Sit back, relax, and listen in as we get to know the voices that bring your scripts to life. Here we go. Take one.
Welcome to another round of the Voice Market Podcast. My name's Kieran, but today it's Sarah Parsons' turn. If you're not sure what she sounds like, I'm sure you'll recognise the voice. Here's a bit of a demo.
Shh, seven deadly sins are coming back. Indulge your naughty side. This is no ordinary sale. This is an extraordinary sale. The flow and feel of this home starts with the light and airy formal lounge and dining. Discover the positive and supportive energy of Integrity Group Fitness Studio.
Sarah, thanks for joining us on the Voice Market Podcast today. We're recording this right at the end of the day. We're both a little tired, but I'm sure that'll make for some more fun conversation. What do you reckon?
Well, hopefully it will, yes.
Sarah, you're a very valued member of the roster here at the Voice Market, and I'm interested to find out what your journey into voiceover has been. Like, how did you get started in this crazy business?
I was living in South Australia many years ago. And a friend of mine said that she was going to do, she had seen in the newspaper that she had seen an ad for radio school, and she was going to go and do it. And she invited me to go and do it with her. So I did. And I loved it. And I came out with a certificate, and I'd learnt all about how to be a radio announcer. And promptly following that, I actually moved back to Tasmania, which is where I'm from. I was really lucky because I found myself a job very quickly in radio here in Hobart. And I spent the next couple of years trying out all sorts of different hats at the radio station, and I found myself very comfortable doing mornings and being a music director, which I loved. That's where I learned the art of voiceover work. So obviously as part of my job at the radio station, I recorded a lot of ads for the station, and there was a great team there who taught me lots of things that I still use today, tips and tricks and things that that were, yeah, priceless, really, and that's how I got started.
So you went to radio school, invited by a friend. Had you had any inkling before that, that radio was something you were even interested in doing?
I really liked drama at school, and this had nothing to do with it, but interestingly, both of my grandfathers were radio announcers. One was a career radio announcer in South Australia, and he lived and worked in some other places around Australia. And my other grandfather lived in Tasmania, and he had done quite a bit of work during war times working in radio. And so I kind of had this history of working in radio that I wasn't even really aware of. I mean, I kind of knew it. Obviously, I wasn't around when they were working in radio, and it wasn't something that we really talked about until I became interested in it. And then there were some great stories. One of my grandfathers had passed away before I actually started working, but the other one, who lived in Tasmania, he actually came and sat with me while I did a shift one morning, and it was pretty special.
Wow, so it's in your family blood then. That's really cool. What about these days? Are you full-on, full-time voiceover, or are you still working in radio and on-air and all that sort of thing too?
No, I finished my time in radio, and then I went and had three sons. I was very busy doing the mum thing, and then technology kind of caught up. And the night before I had my third child, I did a demo through a friend for a voiceover job that a couple of days after I had my third child, I found out that I got. And that kind of started the ball rolling with me putting together a very dodgy studio at home in my walk-in robe where there were lots of clothes, and I used an old mattress to kind of soak up some of the sound. And it was a USB mic. It was all pretty shabby, but it was kind of the start of something a lot bigger and better to come. So, yeah, that was the start of that. That was about 15 years ago. Technology's got better and my studio is a lot better. So I spent a long time doing that full-time when my kids were at home, and now I'm a school teacher.
Wow, so a real change of career. But it's great that you can keep the voiceovers going on the side. And I know what you mean about the makeshift voiceover booths as well. I think we've all had to do that in hotel rooms while traveling or on holidays. And as long as it sounds good, it doesn't matter, right?
It actually doesn't matter. And it works. It really works. It's probably not as comfy, maybe. I mean, I've made myself pretty comfy now. But, yeah, it works. And it can sound great.
I'm wondering how your radio background affected your ability to kind of branch out in voiceover, because I think there's, especially, you know, I can talk from experience as well, starting out in regional Queensland in radio, where all of the jocks on the radio station are expected to read ads, and a lot of them were like kind of rip and read retail kind of things. And earlier on in my voiceover career, I've been told, oh, you know, you sound a bit too radio. And I think it's something you almost need to train yourself out of. Have you found that, or have you found it's been easier for you to move into a more natural style of read?
No, I have. I couldn't agree with you more. And in fact, I was only telling someone at dinner last night that exact story, that, you know, my skill set was high sell retail, and I did a lot of that work, and that kind of became, you know, that was my job, and I was pretty good at it. And then I started to find over time that there was a lot less of that available, and people wanted a lot of natural sounding reads. And it's pretty hard when you've been trained and you've practiced and you've learnt your art and craft, and then people are saying, no, I want you to sound just like an everyday person. And you go, well, actually, that's not what I do. So it has taken me a lot of time and practice to try and sound natural, because it's an effort. It actually isn't, for me, it is not something that I can just do, open the mic and just talk naturally. I have to really pare back that desire to have that retail sound. It's not easy. But I will say, I didn't enjoy it to start with. I found it really difficult, but I actually enjoy it a lot more now. And I do also still get excited when somebody sends me a read for a big car sale or the gym or something where there's a lot of energy. Yeah. And I think, this is where, you know, I think I'll always feel really comfortable in that space. But I used to always stand up to read. And I have found that as things have changed and the types of reads have changed, and maybe it's also because I'm old, but I like to sit. I actually like to sit. I find that I get a more natural read when I'm sitting. And I certainly don't have to use my arms as much when I am giving a more natural performance. But when you're working with sort of high-level retail, my whole body would be, I would never sit down to do retail reads ever.
Yeah, I've actually had someone take a video of me reading a retail voiceover, and looking back at it, I look like a circus clown dancing around or something like that. It's actually quite funny to watch.
Yes, that's funny you should say that, because when I had my first job in radio, I remember being on a tour, and this is where this is, and you know, this is where the booth is for VOs, and there was a guy in there who I used to listen to when I was a kid on local radio. And I thought he was just, you know, he's amazing. And I actually thought there was something wrong with him, because his arms and his body, and it was just going everywhere. And his voice sounded just like I knew as a child, and I could hear that coming through the speakers. But his body was crazy. Now I get it. But at first I'm like, what is wrong with him?
It's really interesting you talking about, you know, having to learn how to do that conversational read again. And I'm surprised how many voiceovers actually struggle with that. You know, you can go out into the lounge room after reading a voiceover and talk to one of your family, and it's just your normal speaking voice.
Yeah.
But here, when you get in front of a microphone and put the headphones on, actually speaking like a real person is quite challenging, isn't it?
Yep. And I think you're right. I think putting the headphones on and just being in front of a microphone when you have done that for such a long time, it kind of gets you in the retail mode, because when you've done lots and lots, I mean, I would be thousands and thousands of those types of reads. And really, that was pretty much all I did for a long time. And so that's what the headphones and the mic kind of equate to, high sell and retail and that retail sound, which is kind of the exact opposite of that beautiful conversational natural kind of feel that a lot of reads call for today.
I'm interested about that person you were speaking to at dinner the other night as well, about what they perceive about what you do as in reading ads and doing voiceovers and all that sort of thing. Did they have a perception or a misconception that it was easy or that you were a superstar? Like, did you get a vibe from them?
Yeah, so I was actually out to dinner with a whole lot of teachers from the school where I teach, and they do ask really interesting questions about the type of work that I do. And I think it's so foreign to so many people. And I think they do think that mostly what you do is retail, I guess, because that's their experience listening to ads in the radio, on the radio in the car. I try to explain now that there is just such a huge variety of scripts that come my way, because there's so many different places where voiceovers are required, and you know, there's just a really broad scope for the skill set now, which is more interesting, I guess.
You get a lot of scripts and a lot of different styles and all that sort of thing, and I'm sure you've had some interesting scripts or things with that you've kind of have caught you off guard, or you know, lack of instructions and things like that. And I know there'll be some creatives and copywriters listening to the podcast. Are there any advice as a voiceover that you can give them to make the script easier to read, better for you to understand, so that you don't get those pickups and redos that happen when mistakes come through? Do you have any advice for those people listening?
Yes. For a long time, I worked with a company doing reads where they were fun. They were very high energy, huge energy, the kind that leave you sweaty after every take. But it was about 45 seconds worth of script in a 30-second read. And I would push and push and push because I wanted to get it right, always wanted to make it fit. And I would certainly say, please don't do that. I mean, I think we've learned over time with retail that less can be more, and yeah, pushing to do that, you know, damages your voice, but also it's kind of just, it's not worth it. So I do think reading things through before they get sent off is always so, so helpful, to see, you know, is this actually possible? And I think with a wiser head now, if I read something and I just think that is just not going to fit, like just not even close, and I'm going to have to really, really push, I think I say no, because I don't think it's worth hurting yourself to try and achieve something like that. And in terms of writing the scripts, yeah, I think reading things aloud, I sometimes wonder when I've had certain scripts, I think, did somebody actually read this aloud? Yeah. And I have learned from that when my boys have been doing essays and assignments at school, I always say to them, read it out loud. Just read it out loud to yourself. It is amazing what you can hear when you read it out loud, as opposed to just reading it in your mind and thinking, yeah, 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 that sounds okay. When you read it aloud, you just get a totally different sense of whatever it is that's written down on the paper. So I'm sure I have read many scripts that were not read out loud before they were sent to me.
Yeah, I think I had one just the other day that was probably about, like you said, about 40 seconds or into a 30, and you just can't get there. And there's only so much that software compression can do to iron those sort of things out. But isn't it nice when you get the other end of the spectrum, when you get a 20-second read that needs to be in a 30, and you can just give it some breathing space and just let the words work for you? I really enjoy doing reads like that. I'm sure you're no different.
No, I absolutely love it. And I feel like that side of me that really loves drama and, you know, production, and that's, I get to be creative, and I thoroughly enjoy it. I'm completely with you. Sometimes you can even play with these tiny sounds in your own voice, and you can hear things that just give a little bit of emotion. And yeah, it's nice. It doesn't happen very often, but when it does, it's so much fun to be a little bit more creative in the delivery because you have a bit of time.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, actually, you mentioned at the start of our chat that you were doing drama at a younger age. Have you taken some of the things you learned from that, or some of the things you're passionate about drama, into your voiceover work?
I absolutely have. I absolutely have. And I think I haven't done nearly as much drama as I hoped that I would do in my life. But I will say that as a primary school teacher, I've been able to bring some of those things into what I teach the children in my class. Because I teach quite young children, I'm teaching them how to read. And I didn't even realise that I was doing it, but we have sentences that come up on the TV screen when we're going through learning how to read. And I've actually had them reading in all different ways and putting emphasis on different words And I actually didn't realise what I was doing, but I think I was giving them voiceover lessons without realising that's what was happening. and they actually love it. They actually really love it. And I think it helps with their reading and it helps with their expression when they're reading aloud. But it also has that dramatic kind of quality to it. So you're doing a little bit of drama and performance at the same time. So there's definitely still influences in my life from loving drama and also just that the love that I have for voiceover work, which is the reason that I've never been able to let it go, even if I'm, you know, working another job during the day and I've been, you know, so tired sometimes and I come home and I think, oh, I don't really want to do reads tonight. But I'm just so glad that I have kept it up because it's a craft that takes a really long time to develop. And I think once you've put in the work, it's actually something really special.
It is, and it's a great side hustle too, right?
And it's a great side hustle. Yes, it is.
Sarah Parsons, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the Voice Market podcast today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Well, that wraps up today's episode of the Voice Market Podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you found the chat of interest and value. If you'd like to work with today's guest on your next project, just get in touch and we'll make it happen. Be sure to join us next time for another peek into the world of voiceover and the voices behind the mic here at thevoicemarket.com.au. Until next time, take care and we'll see you soon.